Good morning and welcome to all, and particularly all guests who are here today as we offer this Mass on this rather chilly Sunday morning. For all guests, your presence is a blessing. Now, all of us are here together to offer our praise and our thanksgiving in the offering of this Mass. Now, I have to tell you, unfortunately today, we do not have any Sunday bulletins. We sent them off to the printer, as we normally do on Tuesday at noon. Box came back, delivered at the end of the week, as it normally does. It opened up the box, and there were Sunday bulletins there for the Church of the Madeleine, but dated December the 31st. So since nobody likes to read yesterday's newspaper, figured nobody wants to read two-week-old Sunday bulletins, we did send off for reorder, apparently because of weather issues between here and where the printer is, which is out of state. We don't have them today. You can read today's bulletin if you go online to the parish website and see it electronically. Please know for all of our guests, you're welcome to the pancake breakfast being served in the parish hall to support our youth that we're leaving later this week to take part in the pilgrimage for the March for Life in Washington, D.C. And also, all of us are welcome to today's March for Life in Tulsa at 1 o'clock, at the cathedral. We'll be on the front steps of the cathedral. We'll take a peaceful, prayerful walk over to Centennial Park, for a prayer rally for the dignity of life. All life from conception to natural death. And all people of goodwill are welcome to take part. Our condolences today go out to two parish families. Two longtime members of our parish have died this last few days. Mary Ellen Gilmay, she died a week ago yesterday at the age of 94. Her funeral mass was this last Thursday. Also, Olga Fusick died on Friday at the age of 85. There'll be a memorial service for her at the Chapel Memorial Park Cemetery at 10 on Wednesday morning. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May their souls and the souls of all the faith that departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. Now, on a personal note, I have some happy news to share with you. That this last Thursday afternoon, my nephew Ryan and his wife Sheridan welcomed into their lives their first child. In Oklahoma City, Chloe Lucille Brooks arrived to us, 7 pounds, 4 ounces, and 20.5 inches in length. Now, I understand that those numbers are important. It's a kind of like the baseline to see how the child then grows and develops. But the weight, I get that. The length, I don't. To me, it's like the length that you measure a fish when you catch it. You know, if it's not long in a certain length, then you gotta throw it back. So as I kind of always think about that, the length of a baby. But you know, I've seen pictures of Chloe, and I think she's going to be a keeper. And so, but please keep the prayers coming. Everybody is fine. Everybody's doing well. God has entrusted to Ryan and Sheridan and to us as a family this precious gift of life. So pray for all of us as we nurture this gift. We nurture this gift of life amongst all of us, particularly as the church. It was about 4 p.m. It's an interesting detail from John's gospel that we hear today about the time of day when Andrew and another disciple, they decide to stay with Jesus, to come and see where he stays, to be with him in his dwelling. Got an interesting detail. I think for myself, what usually is going on at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, on weekdays at least, and usually, for a lot of us, I think, not much. If you're a student in school, school's out, you might be in aftercare, hopefully you're doing your homework that time. If you're a teacher, you might have after school duties, grading papers, so on. If you're working the day shift, by 4 o'clock, you're probably counting down those last 60 minutes until you get to go home. Maybe, but you're working the second shift, so maybe your day has begun. But usually that 4 o'clock in the afternoon is the time of transition from the events, the activities of the day, preparing us for the activities of the evening. And also at certain times of the year, such as now in December and January, the light of day is beginning to fade. At a time before electricity, when the sun went down, you went down. Much of the day has already passed by that point in the afternoon. It was at 4 p.m. And what has preceded has been this encounter and a dialogue between Jesus and these two disciples. One of them is Andrew. And it begins when John the Baptist telling Andrew and this other disciple, he points to Jesus and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." John does not say, "Hey, look over there. It's my cousin from Nazareth, Jesus. His mom and my mom, they're like this. And they're tight. They're more like sisters than cousins." He doesn't say that. Instead, John declares that Jesus is the Lamb of God. That's a unique title to give to a person, because that's the title usually given to a lamb, an animal, the one that's slaughtered for the Passover meal. That lamb a year old without defect, without blemish. That's the title given to the Lamb of Sacrifice, whose blood is offered in the temple in Jerusalem as an offering to God. It's an offering of thanksgiving, of seeking forgiveness for sin, of the desire a closer communion with God. So John is saying that Jesus is the Lamb who will confirm the sacred relationship of that new covenant of the Last Supper, the covenant that is sealed by the blood of Jesus on the cross. And it's precisely these words that the priest proclaims at each and every Mass when he raises up from the altar the Eucharist. The sacred body and precious blood, from the altar the body and blood of Christ, the real presence, which is the sacramental extension of the incarnation of God the Son, making His dwelling among us and in us. It is the words that Andrew and the other disciple, with these words, they now enter into this dialogue with Jesus, the same dialogue that is essential for every disciple. And Jesus asked them, "What are you looking for?" Is that not the big question? The question of life. The question of being a disciple. The question of being the church. It is asked of every one of us. And also, why do we look for Jesus? What do we look for Him? Do we look for Him as a historical figure, a teacher, a healer, or do we look for something more? And why do we ask the question? Why do we look? Is it out of curiosity? Is it out of custom? Is it about staying within our bubble? Or is it something more? What John the Baptist points to, what the gospel calls us, is that we are to seek something more. To follow Jesus because He is the incarnate Word of God made flesh, the presence of God in the world, who sanctifies and brings salvation to all those who are in communion with Him. And the 4 o'clock dialogue continues. Andrew and the other disciple, they ask Jesus, "Where are you staying?" Or sometimes translated, "Where do you dwell?" Now this is not a question that can be answered by Google Maps. We're not talking about a physical location. For the Greek word that's used to describe to stay or to dwell or remain or abide can also mean to describe to be in a permanent relationship. And that word, and that image, they appear all throughout John's gospel. Jesus says, "Remain in me, dwell with me, abide with me." And Jesus' answer to this question is simple and profound. Come and see. Come. See for yourselves. Experience it for yourselves. Don't watch from a distance. And leave behind the lesser things and to be active, an active participant in my life. An active participant in the life of faith, active in the incarnation. Now some of you know, perhaps you might have seen this on social media. Last week, the actor James Caviezel, he portrayed Jesus in the film The Passion of the Christ, and he's got another movie coming out here later this year about St. Paul the Apostle, and he's quite passionate about his Catholic faith. He showed up to speak at a gathering of 8,000 college-age Catholics in Chicago. It's sponsored by the Focus Missionaries, and Focus means Fellowship of Catholic University Students. They're lay missionaries. They're active at the University of Tulsa. They're also active in some of the parishes here in the Tulsa area. And Caviezel showed up. He was not on the schedule. It was kind of like a surprise visit. A surprise visit from Jesus. And he comes out and he gave an impassioned, about 12 or 15 minute long talk, and I encourage you to watch it on YouTube, in which he's pretty much echoing what we hear from St. Paul the Apostle today. He urges these young men and women to do precisely what Jesus is asking of Andrew and the other disciple. be active participants in the life of grace. Through prayer, the scriptures, worship, the sacraments, through the works of mercy, he gave them a call to live a life of faith and do so in a disbelieving culture. It's the invitation to come and see. And late in the day, after much time has passed, it is accepted. And for many of us, a lot has to happen. Good, bad, in between, that leads to that moment of saying yes. For many, young, old, in between, much has to happen to prepare us for that 4 o'clock in the afternoon moment to say yes and to stay with Jesus. To live a more active life of faith, a deeper commitment to say yes, even at 4 in the afternoon. Much time can be spent, even years of watching at a distance, asking the big question out of habit or out of custom, or without fully understanding what all this is about. We also hear today the call of Samuel as a prophet. Samuel is living about 1,000 years before the birth of Jesus. And even as a child, he's being called to be a prophet. And notice at first, Samuel does not understand that it's God calling him. He has to hear that call repeatedly before he can say those beautiful words, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Late in the day, even late in life, we can still say yes to the invitation and live more deeply a life of grace. And it's to be lived more deeply for a reason. What's the first thing Andrew does after he stays with Jesus, after he experiences the incarnation? He goes and shares it with his brother Simon. Simon, who is then named Cephas, which means Peter, and it's upon this rock, the rock of Peter's profession of faith, that our faith as the church is built. You know, it's interesting, in the Greek Orthodox Church, Andrew is referred to as the first called. Because that's that mark of discipleship. Experience the incarnation and then share it with others. And that's why Andrew has been invited to stay with Jesus, to encounter the incarnation so he can share it with others. And that's why Samuel's been called to be a prophet, to speak the truth of God to the people of Israel, to call down God's judgment, because it's a topic for a different homily for a different time. But the reason why Samuel's been called to be a prophet, even as a child, is because the religious leaders of that time have failed. Eli is one of the priests of Aaron, and he's in charge of taking care of the Ark of the Covenant. But he's grown lax and indifferent. And he has 2 sons who are also priests of the covenant, and they are even worse. They are abusing their authority. They're abusing the positions of power. So Samuel's been called to stop this abuse, to call down God's judgment upon the people. And Samuel is part of God's plan to overcome this corruption, this indifference, to renew and to strengthen the faith of the people. And that's God's plan today. Calling us to be Andrews, calling us to be Samuels, calling us to come and see, experience, and live the incarnation. Imagine a church, not just a parish church, but the church universal, full of Samuels, calling people back to the faith, to strengthen their faith, to experience the depth of God's love for us. Imagine a church full of Andrews, men, women, children, young, old, and in between, who have said yes to that 4 o'clock in the afternoon moment. That invitation to experience the incarnation. Imagine a church full of Andrews who want to do nothing more than to share this experience with others. And by this means, God can and is now renewing his church and reshaping the face of the earth.